Hello and welcome back to another episode of Keeping Up Appearances podcast. Joining me and Max today, we've got Tosh again, thankfully. He's graced us with his presence again for, was it the second time in 3 weeks? And we've also got new member to the revamped podcast, but I think he's appeared once before. It's our good friend, Matthew Griffin.
Evening all.
Sorry, it's a mouthful, your name, you know.
Yeah. How are we? Good, yeah. Glad to be here.
How are we all doing, lads? Anyone got any stories from the week?
Roger Williams continues their run. We won 1-0 again at the weekend.
What are they called?
Roger Williams University. Hawks. Go Hawks.
That sounds legit.
Doesn't sound like anyone.
Roger Williams is the guy who founded Rhode Island, State of Rhode Island.
Oh.
So he was a Puritan. He didn't want to be a part of like the religious people in Massachusetts. The Catholics all came up for England, so he ran away, made his own state. And we're Hawks. That's our mascot. Don't know why, but yeah. We had a game Saturday. We travelled 2.5 hours up to Endicott to play. The game got called off after 30 minutes because of a thunderstorm. So 0-0 at that point. They had to come back the next day, so travel all the way back up again. Carry on from 30 minutes onwards, and we managed to get a 1-0 win. Big win as well. They're a conference rival, so it was a good weekend.
That'd have been a stinker if you got beat there, wouldn't it, in that second half?
Terrible.
Yeah.
All the travelling.
Oh. Did you play the last 60 minutes again, or did you play the full game again?
No, we started from the point in the game. It was stopped, so 30 minutes in. So basically, starting from a throw-in, we played 15 minutes at half-time, came back out for the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Got the win, got the dub. So very good.
What about you two? Been up to much?
Nah.
Great partner as always. I actually had a pretty interesting weekend. You might disagree with me on this, but I had a weekend in London, or a day in London anyway. We did a little tour of Buckingham Palace, and I think I'm now a royalist.
Why?
Because it was great. I'm so interested in the royals all of a sudden. I've started watching The Crown, everything, honestly.
Yeah, but like the actual royals now, or like the history of it?
Well, I don't know anything about the current royals, if that makes sense. But I like going to these places so that, yeah, you just think of all the stuff that's happened there. So, yeah, the history side of it probably, but, it was honestly very good.
The Crown series of the Crown is good.
You what?
The first series of The Crown is good. I've watched that.
Have you watched the others?
No, I gave up after that.
So good.
The first one was particularly good.
I watched the third season because it's like it changes actors and stuff, doesn't it? There's different time periods since the bit with Diana. Yeah. So, I hate King Charles and his big giant sausage fingers. Have you seen them? Google it.
Sketchy
Google the sausage fingers, Sean. You won't be a royalist for long.
But they had big paintings of them, but it was 90% fingers. You couldn't tell who it was. Right.
Yeah. I watched the tennis, and then watched the tennis on Sunday night. The US, the Open, as Max would probably call it.
That's not the US Open.
You need more. You need to be getting on them. They're going to top like Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. Them two, unbelievable. At Alcaraz,
who won?
They won the last
Alcaraz win.
Yeah, he won. Yeah, something like that. They've played each other the last three Grand Slam finals. That is a fact for the other day that the big three, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, none of them ever played each other in three finals in a season. As in one of like Federer never played Nadal in three in a row, etc. But them two would both like 23 and 24 as well. You know, not watch the Wimbledon one and the French Open one, no?
Watch Wimbledon.
That was the worst fan of the lot, to be fair. But
why? Because Yannick Sinner won it?
Yeah, it just wasn't as good. But the French Open was the unbelievable one. We came from 2-0 down, Alcaraz. But
yeah. Yeah, championship point, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, 2 or 3. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Great.
I feel like the intro every week, Sean. We just talk about different sports.
I know, but I like it. That's what we should be doing. And then we get into the nitty gritty. But
next week it's badminton.
Yeah, Griffin can take the lead there. Squash. Right, let's move on then. So we weren't going to talk about this, but as it's just happened in the last 24 hours or so, we'll just quickly touch on the events unfolding at Nottingham Forest. Obviously, Nuno leave. Did he leave or was he sacked? I haven't read him. Was he sacked? Yeah. And then Ange Postecoglou taking over. Any thoughts, lads?
Well, we're already 0-1 on our predictions for the season with the manager to be sacked. Yeah. You thought Pereira survives?
I know.
At Wolves.
I almost thought Nuno would get a bit longer, you know, just with like Europe and that. But I think it's just a bit, it was a bit too like volatile, wasn't it, between the two of them?
Yeah. If you're a Nottingham Forest fan, or if I was a Nottingham Forest fan, I'd be very upset because of how well he's done there. He took over, I think it was before Steve Cooper.
Yeah.
When he was 17th, and then he survives, and then the following season gets them European football. And for the longest part, they were fighting for Champions League spots all year. So I think you'd be pretty upset, and you just get Ange in. I don't know what to think of Ange. He won the UEFA Cup a terrible year at Spurs. But I'd sometimes give him the benefit of that because of the amount of injuries they had. So yeah, I think I'd be pretty upset.
He's going to play that stupid high line again with Forrest.
We've played the opposite for the last year.
They're just going to get beaten, aren't they? It's a ridiculous decision. Absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion.
I've got the inside line on a good friend of mine as a Forest fan, and he agrees with the decision.
Really?
Yeah, I think I can only speak because I only know him, who's a Forest fan, but they just love that Marinakis that much. And I can understand why you would, because obviously when he took over them, the doldrums and whatever he's done, he's created a bit of this siege mentality, hasn't he, with all the stuff he's been up to. And yeah, no, he's sort of happy with that. He's not fully happy that they got Ange, but he's with the Nuno thing. I think a lot of them were, I think what you said was right, Max, about that they had an unbelievable season, but it sort of ended badly, didn't it? So it's sort of the way it finished. They sort of, I remember Everton beat them at Forest, he drew with Leicester and things like that. So it sort of petered out. And then, I mean, he still started okay. They just had a shocker of a result against West Ham, didn't he? But yeah. No, yeah, I can only speak that to one Forest fan, but I think a lot of them, from what you see on social media, are like, they just love that Marinakis so much for what he's done. I think they sort of back him.
Yeah. He's also spent a lot of money, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And he's sort of, can't argue with the job he's done as an owner, really, can you, from where he took him over? And
he took that. The occasional embarrassment of walking on fields and statements and stuff. And
Gary Neville.
Hiring Mark Clattenburg.
Is Neville back in the stadium now? Hasn't that been resolved?
No, I don't think so.
Sure has. Sure, he said something.
Maybe he has then.
Aren't you his mate? Can I text him?
I've got the inside line, mate.
I like Ange, though. I think Ange could be well. I like that. I'm with Max. I think there's an element of not knowing, really, if he's good. He's obviously plays a ridiculous DI line. That Chelsea game for a couple of years ago just stands out. It's unbelievable. 9 men and playing with Eric Dier on the halfway line for like the whole game. It's just genius.
The one thing you could say is he might actually have the back line to do it. Like, they've got some impressive defenders at Nottingham Forest, haven't they? You could possibly do it, but
that Milenkovic is not the quickest. But I do, yeah, you are right. That Einar and that Murillo, I suppose. Yeah. But it's just that, like that, because Nuno is priority, like, he is a defensive manager, isn't he? A lot of the success last year was sit back, have good defenders, and hit them on the counter, and that's, he's like going to be the absolute opposite of that. We've got some good attacking players, so maybe, but yeah, I just don't see an ending too well.
I actually quite enjoy that, to be fair. I think we mentioned, was it the other week, 2 weeks ago maybe, about how we'd have been delighted for the downfall. So yeah, I think it might be quite good. As you say though, Angie's quite a likeable guy, isn't he? So a bit torn there, but I almost feel like it's a bit of a big name. He wants a big name. I don't know which other big names are available, but
yeah. Mourinho was the second favourite to get the job.
Was he? Yeah.
It was between him and Ange. Well, the bookies were saying it was Ange and then Mourinho.
There's not a chance he'd have gone in there with that chairman, would he?
Not I don't know, because as Tosh said about the siege mentality, Mourinho absolutely loves that, doesn't he? Imagine both of them.
When he's like... on his terms, though, that's the difference.
Well, I suppose.
Mourinho does love a fight and getting sacked, though, and he's guaranteed both of them.
Yeah.
Right, let's move it on then, lads. So I think, Max, you're going to take the reins. Guide us in our next bit.
Yeah, so there was an interview... A couple of days ago or this week, and I sort of went pretty viral on social media. There was an interview with Michael Owen and Rio Ferdinand. Michael Owen had a lot of things to say, starting, well, obviously his own ability and how good of a footballer he was. He also mentioned the international tournament and youth players and things like that. So in the interview, they go through his whole career and who he was as or how good he was as a teenager and things like that. And the first thing I want to discuss, and it was brought up by Michael Owen, and also you might have seen it on social media with his response to, I think, Match of the Day. Rooney versus Michael Owen, who was the better player at that age, 17 to 22, 21. So thoughts?
I'll go first in that the main thing, I think, is that we need to talk about is the fact that Michael Owen is so pathetic for the fact that he cares this much about it. Like, yeah. I've never known anything like it. Like, imagine they put tweets out, obviously, about, like, footballers. They, in never in a million years, are they expecting a footballer to respond? And then the fact, what I'm unsure of is he obviously had loads of, like, he had all the numbers for him and Rooney. Either he knew them already, which means he's a loser, or he's researched them, which also means he's a loser. So, I honestly, like, I've just got no defense for it. I just think my thing from the interview, the main thing I got, I actually enjoyed it, considering I dislike both people in the interview. I actually enjoyed the interview, but I thought, like, if it was like they were both obsessed with, like, Owen at 18, it was like, he'd go, well, what about when you were 25? And he'd go, yeah, but when I was 18, you're like, we get it. Like, we know you're a boss. Everyone knows you're a boss. But, like, it's like his whole life now. He's 40, plus he's 45, something like that. I don't know. I pity him a little bit that he's still in his head. He's 18 and he wishes he was 18. And, like,
I agree. I do pity him. I think this is why he's holding on to it. He even says in the interview, when he won the Ballon d'Or at 22, he was already on the downward spiral, like towards, like, being a poor player. Like, at 22,
he also says though in the interview that even his kids say about how boring he is, and all that you see on the internet is how boring he is. So he's probably even getting it at home about, he's like, fuck this, I need to prove something. So get me on this podcast and let me just have a go. And to be fair to him, he was top scorer when he was, what, 17 and 18, was it? Or 18 and 19?
17 and 18, yeah.
And some of the strikers he reels off who played at the same time, you can't knock that, to be fair to him. And he was, I mean, his pace, obviously, in particular, was his sort of, his asset, wasn't it? But that's pretty good going.
I have, like, a love-hate feeling around Michael Owen, because he was my idol as a kid. Like, my first memory of football is 1997, him coming on and scoring that goal against Wimbledon. And then he was top goal scorer the following year, leading up to the World Cup. And he had his own, like, boot range with Umbro. I had every single pair of them. And like Griffin said, like, to get into the squad for England anyway, and then to play. So I think he got brought on against Romania, he says in the interview. And then after that, he plays. There was Alan Shearer, Les Ferdinand, who set a goal record, I think, in 96, maybe. Andy Cole, Ian Wright, Letitier, who else? Paul Merson, maybe, you can probably consider as a forward. To get in front of all of that and to be starting for England at that age is unbelievable. Yeah. And I've got his tweet here, so he replies to it and says, at 17, I scored 18 Premier League goals, winning the Golden Boot. Wazza scored 6. At 18, I scored 18 goals, again winning the Golden Boot and coming fourth in the Ballon d'Or. Wazza scored 9. In our opening seven seasons, Wazard didn't outscore me once, 117-80, in which time I became the second youngest Ballon d'Or winner ever. Injuries hindered me from then on. He's sustained his level, therefore he'll go down as a better player. But at 17, please.
Do you know what? It's that last bit. Really does my head in.
It's the last bit. Don't do that.
Do you know the thing in the interview? What really did me? I didn't. When he talked about Real Madrid, he said one thing, didn't he? About like, were you ever phased when you walked in and there was all these players? And he was like, why? And then Real goes, yeah, you just won the Ballon d'Or, and he was like, yeah, yeah. No, you hadn't. He won the Ballon d'Or 3 years earlier. Like, think about from when he won that Ballon d'Or to when he left Liverpool, when he had that, like, skinhead.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the same player.
Wasn't the same player.
Yeah, and then he's making out, he was on the same level as, like, Zidane. Like, you just weren't, mate. But, again, obviously that interview just proves you've got to admire his arrogance, because that is clearly what kind of got him to the top anyway. But I just think, when he's at Stoke, he probably had to let that go. Like, you're going to have to let that arrogance go at some point.
Yeah. I think I haven't seen the interview, so I can't, but I kind of got the gist and know Michael Owen. I think there is an element, isn't it, the way it ended. He feels like he has to talk about that first bit. I don't know. I can't remember Michael Owen at them early years, and being honest, like watching him week in, week out. So I can't say. I know it's unbelievable to, as Max says, all them things in a World Cup. He's got a World Cup moment there that will never be forgotten, that he's done it, what was it, 18? Like that. That's unbelievable. As a person who loves a World Cup like me, that's like, that's there forever. Rooney maybe hasn't got that. But I having not seen Michael Owen, I just can't imagine he was at any point a better footballer than Wayne Rooney ever was.
And I don't think he was a better footballer. Like, Michael Owen says it in the interview. He says, like, you're comparing two players that aren't similar.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Michael Owen was just rapid, just get out players and go score goals, whereas Rooney can pretty much do everything. At that age, though, to win a Ballon d'Or anyway, at that age is incredible. I don't think there was anyone better than him as a centre-forward, apart from maybe R9 at the time. And he had his injury problems while Owen was still that young. I think he came back around 2001-2002, just after he won the Ballon d'Or. My first game at Anfield was in the 2001 season. It was BB Blackburn 4-3. And I think he scores. That year, he was unbelievable. He obviously had the FA Cup final as well. They scored the two goals late against Arsenal. He was just unbelievable. And then my next game at Anfield was actually like 2 years later, and it was Blackburn again. It was a similar scoreline, 4-3, and he was terrible. And it was like, I think it would have been like 10 or 11 or something like that. And you're watching and you're like, oh my God, he's not the hero I thought he was. Because he genuinely got so bad so quickly. It's quite hard to watch. And I remember the game against Leeds where he snaps his hamstring in half and he's like sprinting through. It was weird because like he falls down, like slides on his ass for like 10 yards and then just rolls over. And then you had obviously international level where he done his knee. Was it in the World Cup or before it?
It was that Sweden game.
He falls over on his knee weird. And he always wanted to come back to Liverpool, didn't get the deal. Rafa never wanted him. Ends up at Newcastle, loads of injuries there. Was it Stoke right after that? Or Man United first?
Yeah, United.
And then that's when the hatred even more comes. Like, you never do that as a Liverpool player, ever. But he did.
Saying that, obviously it doesn't matter to Liverpool fans or... Well, even Owen, I don't even think Owen values it, but I do love that derby goal, you know, against City. I just love that moment. It was just like...
I reckon Owen does value it, because he must look at, like, Gerrard and Carragher. He came through about the same time. I think he was probably slightly before. He looks at, like, the love that Gerrard has, you know, from Liverpool fans. Owen, I don't think any set of fans like him. Obviously, he's tarnished his reputation by saying stupid stuff about, like, the apple in the bin. And the Dubai video and all this nonsense, but I think he's just like desperate to be loved by a set of fans. That's why he's coming out of the woodwork now and saying all this stuff. It's like, you know, as I say, even his kids are giving him shit, so it's like, fucking hell.
Carragher often says that like him and Owen retired on the same day. And so like obviously all Michael Owen did in his career, Carragher went out, they beat QPR room, I think, or they played QPR, and Carragher's got the whole ground. Tifa and like Carragher's walking out and he retired. I think Owen comes off the bench for Stoke or something.
Again, it's sad.
It's not, I don't care, but I don't like. Even in them times, Max was saying, I still remember my first 2 years, Derby's a goodest, and he scored in both of them as Liverpool beat Everton. It was 2002-2003-ish around that time. Before he goes to Madrid, I think both the derbies I seen he played and he scored. But, yeah.
His scoring record was unbelievable. Obviously, Golden Boots were Everton. Even at Madrid, coming off the bench, he scored 1 in 3. England, he scored 40-something goals in like 80 games.
It was mad because he must have had like 30, 35 England goals by the time he was like 23, yeah. Something like, you know, like at that time, okay, he broke it by a mile, but like the time would have been Bobby Charlton at 49. Like that would have been like odds on to have broken that record. Yeah. And then Tony at 40.
How many other players can you think of that had like injuries that stopped a career like that? Because like, you know, if he hadn't had that injury, because he was raw, he was just pace.
He was 21, he was done, he said, doesn't he?
He was done, yeah, because he snapped the hamstring and he played on two hamstrings on that one leg for the rest of his career. He would have probably set a bunch of records. If he stayed in the Premier League, he would have beat Alan Shearer's record for certain. Who else has like had a career stunted like that?
That young. I remember the high level, because you probably wouldn't know about them, would you? Like, obviously Michael Owen's close to home. Someone like, I mean, I think we did one early on, didn't we, about people who's injured. Like Van Basten comes to my head at retiring at like 27 or something, but he'd won a couple of European Cups or Euros, so I don't think it's that similar. Yeah, it's a good question, I'm not too sure.
I do think as well, though, when you say like career, like ruined, it's also, he says quite a few times in the interview, he was like, I could still do it, I could still finish. I think his problem was, though, and again, it's going back to that arrogance, everywhere he went, he thought he was better. So, like, coming back from Madrid, obviously he went to Newcastle, but, like, every team's a step down from Madrid, so it's all right. You don't have to, like, double down on it. But he goes to Newcastle. He actively hates it. He makes it known he hates it there. And then he goes to United, and it's just like he couldn't bear the fact that he wasn't at the top of the game anymore. If he'd have just been happy with, like, do you know what, if he'd have stayed at Newcastle, and just been happy there and played the game he could now play, he probably would have had a decent career still.
Well, he famously stayed in Chester, didn't he? And kept getting helicopters up to the ground and the trainers, like he just didn't want to be there. And he obviously did get that knee injury, though, which basically his first year was ruined at Newcastle.
Yeah.
He's just such a weirdo. And then Griffin mentioned before the whole Dubai thing.
He's never made a cup of tea or something.
Have you heard
that one?
Well,
yeah.
Here's Riley Cup captain, Sam Torrance.
He's only seen like something like four films ever or something as well. Something like that.
Three of them, I think three of them are Rocky. He's seen like three of the Rockies and one other.
One's I also gold. Think
my last thing as well on it is, do you know the Ballon d'Or? Like, I know there's loads of talk on it now, and he touch on it a little bit. And Rio Ferdinand tries to play it down as if he doesn't care about the Ballon d'Or when it's all he talks about. But, like, the Ballon d'Or then wasn't really the thing. No one really cared about it. And do you know,
in England.
Okay, in England. But do you know if someone had the season Michael Owen had, now, they wouldn't get near the Ballon d'Or? He won an FA. Like, now you've got to win your league, the Champions League, and a World Cup to even have a sniff. Michael Owen won the FA Cup. He won the UEFA Cup in extra time against Alaves, and he won, was it the League Cup as well?
You won five
trophies against second division Birmingham.
Yeah, like that everyone's gone. He won the treble. Like I mean, obviously it's a good season for Liverpool, but like for the best player in the world to be scraping past Birmingham on pens and Alaves in extra time. Do you know what? Again, if he hadn't done those two goals against Arsenal, would he have won that Ballon d'Or? Is that true?
Or if he hadn't won the
pool? Well, yeah, that is a point, yeah.
But a couple of things that are right. So, like, these days, I feel like the Ballon d'Or has been ruined. I think actually less people care about it now than they did back then. I think in Europe and the rest of the world, the Ballon d'Or was still huge at the time. Like, I think the year before, maybe Zidane won it. It was actually about being the best player. And also, getting into Europe wasn't as easy as it is now. So, like, us being in the UEFA Cup final, we then beat Bayern Munich 3 months later, who just won the Champions League in the Super Cup. And he scores in that game. Like, Liverpool were actually very good that year and finished second to Arsenal. if you go back and like, I've watched that season so many times because I think it was such a massive year for us. He was unbelievable, almost unplayable. And he actually was the best player in the world. Whereas these days, it's literally who scores the most. Apart from last year when it was Rodri, which I actually agree with. For the longest time, it was who scored the most between Ronaldo and Messi.
But they were unequivocally, like, they were definitely the best players in the world. Yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. It's, like, skewed now what the Ballon d'Or should be. It's like, Vinicius Jr. should never be in that conversation for Ballon d'Or. He's not the best player in the world. And then the year before, Benzema just scored the most goals. Lewandowski should have won it the year before, but because he scored the most goals. You know what I mean? Well, what I'm trying to get.
No, I do. I just think Owen had moments, and I don't know. Obviously, I can't talk about the Liverpool's 2001 season. I haven't got a clue what happened in that season, other than those trophies. But I just think, because I've just remembered he also had that. He scored it in the Germany game, didn't he? That was 2001.
5-1, yeah.
So, like, that's another moment. I just feel like he might have won it on moments rather than... I'll never know that, obviously, because I can't remember it, but I don't know. Yeah,
I know what you're saying. I agree. You know, City a couple of years ago won a domestic treble, and not one of their players was linked with winning the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah,
and like I was just Max was saying about the Ballon d'Or there. I sort of remember the time because I think they joined it, and they might have put it back. There was like a World Footballer of the Year. There was two sorts of awards. I just googled it. Like Michael Owen wasn't even in the top three in 2001 for that. Like it's Figo, Beckham, Raul. So it's like there's such a discrepancy between like two of them things of like, and again at the time I can't remember it. You know. Which one would be considered better? The Ballon d'Or's obviously got the prestige, but it might not have even had back then because obviously up until a certain point, you know, only Europeans could win the Ballon d'Or. It might not have got to that point. You know, Maradona never won a Ballon d'Or because he wasn't European, things like that. So it's an interesting debate. But here's another good fact for you. Just on, you said about you see Jamie lost on Friday or Thursday to Slovakia. That was only that was the first time they've ever lost an away World Cup qualifier.
Ever. Is it?
Yeah. They've only ever lost four. So, like that 5-1, they lost three at home before that. And that was only the first ever time they've lost an away World Cup qualifier.
Wow.
Have that one for free.
All right. Well, speaking of international football, in the interview as well, they talk briefly on the youth tournaments that England win and talk about how great England are at youth tournaments and that we don't sort of trust the players going forward. So, we're going to play a little game and we're going to talk about where are they now. So in 2017, England won the U17 World Cup and the U20 World Cup. So those two rosters or two squads, we're going to go through the lineup and you're going to tell me where that player is now. Some of them are a little bit straightforward, but some of them a little bit more difficult. So starting with the 20, you're going to work together, by the way. So make it a little bit easier for yourselves. Start with the U17 team. That won out in Korea. They played Spain in the final. In goal was Curtis Anderson.
Prison.
So he was, at the time, he was playing for Manchester City. So where is he now?
Oh, can we have a point if we even get the league?
Yeah.
Is he still playing?
No. He's not.
In like KFC or McDonald's or something.
Yeah, he'd be close. Prison was pretty close, probably. He played for Charlotte Independence, Wickham, Lancaster City, Bootle, and Kendal Town.
Game going to get easier than this? Because this is borderline. Like,
yeah.
I might actually just log out now.
The game is going to get easier. The reason why
players played for Kendal and Bootle.
The reason why I wanted to do this is because he talks about how great England are at youth tournaments, and he talks about like giving them chances and giving all these players chances, opportunities, because like the Spanish players then go on and play 150 times, the Portuguese players do. We never give these players chances. I wanted to sort of point out the fact that we weren't actually that good. Next player, Mark Gahey. So he starts at centre back. Where's he?
Liverpool.
No. Can I actually give the answer? Crystal Palace, thank you. Second player, Joel Latibodier. Do you even know who he is?
Obviously not. I thought he was on Johnny English.
He was at Manchester City at the time. Anyone?
I'll say he's at Watford.
Nope. Tosh, you want to guess?
Is he still playing?
Still playing.
He's playing for Hamilton Waterlooville in the conference.
Incorrect. He actually played, he was in a bit of a big role against Manchester United in the FA Cup.
This year?
Was it last year, maybe?
Can't remember.
Or was it the year before?
In the semi-final. He won it the year before. Oh, the Coventry?
Yeah, Coventry. Along in defence as well from Chelsea was Jonathan Panzo.
Can't call someone up these days, Max.
He is at Rio Ave. So you got the and then at left back,
they owned by our friend Marinakis, Rio Ave. I think they're one of the clubs.
And Botafogo as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't you sign a bunch of players in there? Left back was Steven Sessegnon. Where is he?
Back at Fulham.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, he's down.
No.
Oh, was he his brother? He had those brothers, wasn't
it? It's Ryan Steven, isn't
it? Yeah, Steven played in this game. He was at Fulham at the time. He's at a local club to us.
Tranmere.
No.
To you or us? Does he play for Roger Hargreaves Academy or whatever?
Does he play for Runcorn?
No, a little bit further out than that.
Stockport.
Wrexham.
Wigan. Next player, Morgan Gibbs-White.
Yeah, Forrest. He had it like incredibly easy, Max, and or incredibly difficult.
They literally are.
Did you check this game before we went live with it? Sure.
I had to promise not to cheat, which I think would have been obvious. Real Ave for Lord Font or Royal, whatever his name was.
Next player in midfield was George McEachran. Or McEachran, yeah.
He was Chelsea at the time. All the brothers of people who were supposed to be good. It was Josh who was the other one, wasn't he?
Was it?
There was Josh McEachran who was like the good one from Chelsea, wasn't he?
This one's George.
I heard of McEachran on the radio the other day. One of them's playing in like the lower leagues in England, but
yeah.
I reckon that'll be Josh. I don't think George is newsworthy myself.
he just played recently in a big game.
He's
on
in a
television.
At Christmas.
What was that, Sean?
He at Grimsby.
He's at Grimsby, yeah. He was at Chelsea and Swindon. Grimsby. Angel Gomes.
Is it Lille?
Yeah, he's Lille, isn't he?
Yeah. Rian Brewster.
He's just gone to Derby.
I think he's just retired, hasn't he?
No, to Derby. He scored
at Derby last week, didn't he? Yeah, he's at Derby.
Oh, I was thinking George Brewster. Sorry.
Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah, Forrest as well, yeah.
Yeah, Forrest. Phil Foden, obviously, is the only player from the team who actually is with the same club, so that's easy enough, Manchester City. And then a couple more players. Lewis Gibson. He was at Everton.
Borough.
Oh, yeah. He did go Borough, yeah.
He's not at Borough right now. Don't care.
QPR. Is it QPR?
Preston. And then you got Emil Smith Rowe.
Fulham,
yeah. Not going to go for the Spain squad because you're not going to have any idea.
Yeah, that will be hard.
The U20 squad is slightly easier. So in goal, Freddie Woodman.
Liverpool.
He's at Liverpool, yeah. Right back, he was at Everton at the time, John Joe Kenny.
Ah, Tosh will know that. He's in Germany now.
No, yeah, but he moved somewhere in the summer, I think, to somewhere else in Germany, I think. He was Schalke at loan, he went to here to Berlin, but I think he moved somewhere else. I remember seeing him, I can't remember where.
He has moved on.
Is it to a different country? Is it somewhere like Greece or something?
Yeah.
Well, Panathinaikos, Olympiakos, AEK Athens.
How do you say it? P-A-O-K? How?
Oh, okay.
Centre back Fikayo Tomori.
Milan,
yeah. Milan.
The other centre back, no idea who he is. Jake Clark Salter.
He sounds like he plays for Southampton, though.
Yeah. He was at Chelsea at the time with loads of loans. He's now in London somewhere.
Doing what?
Making it a bank.
Cabby.
He's at QPR. Left back was Kyle Walker-Peters.
Yes, Sam.
Sent him into Lewis Cook.
Bournemouth,
yeah. Josh Onoma.
Was he Tottenham?
He was Tottenham at the time, yeah.
Again, is he still London ways?
No, he's up northwest. Allerton Academical's me clue.
Blackpool,
yeah. Another Everton player, Kieran Dowell.
He's a Rangers.
Dominic Solanke.
Spurs.
Adamola Luckman.
Did he end up moving? Is he still Atalanta?
He's still at Atalanta, yeah. And then Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
King.
That Leeds, yeah. And then the two subs were Shea Ojo, who was at Liverpool at the time. Do you know where he is, Griffin?
No, Max. Obviously, I don't.
he is at Maribor, and then the other person was Ainsley. Ainsley Maitland-Niles is the last player.
He's somewhere abroad.
He was at Arsenal, wasn't he?
Yeah.
At the time, yeah.
Where'd he go abroad? I've seen him. Oh, he played against Arsenal. Is he like, he's not Villarreal, is he? He played against Arsenal and they played in a pre-season friendly against someone, I remember seeing him. Scored on Mr. Penn. I can't remember.
It's in France. Tyler Morton.
Leon.
Correct, yeah. Well done. There was that game.
Well done for getting three right.
The reason why I wanted to do that shit game is because Michael Owen talks about how like great we are at tournaments and how all these players then don't get a chance. So like Harvey Elliott in the last one, for example, doesn't play at Liverpool. Two years ago when he won the Euros 2023, it was Cole Palmer, obviously he plays. If you look at, you won't see the Spain team, I'm not going to go through, but there's no marks on the Spain team that they beat, and then they beat Venezuela in the other final. I think the point Michael Owen's making is completely wrong. Like, all the best young players in all the other foreign countries pretty much play a few games on the 21s, then go straight to the national team. So, like, I think the point he's trying to make about, like, how good we are, and we need to get all these chances. So all these things, I don't think it's possible anymore. I don't think the players are even that good. But it's like the fact that you can't name half the team in these two tournaments shows that.
But is that not proving his point that those players aren't given a chance? Like if half them players would have played for their club, would they have ended up at wherever they are now? Or could, like, look at Tomori, for example. Couldn't get a game, gone to AC Milan. Plays every week, Champions League. It's like, I know this is going to be the case for them all, but it's never going to be. But his point is, they win a under-20s tournament or whatever, and then come back to the club, and then get told, after that, imagine that high, and you think, like, I think that was when, like, Rian Brewster and that all had the shirts on the other way, wasn't it? Like, they all thought they were, like, the big dogs, and then they go, yeah, you're not playing. And then you get some kid the same age or younger or whatever, bring him in from Brazil or whatever and play him instead. That's why these kids potentially are where they are. If they would have been given a chance, they might not be.
True, but are you telling me that John Joe Kenny was going to play for England?
he might be an exception, to be fair. But you look at, like,
I think most of them.
You look at, like, Adamola Luckman. Like, I don't get me wrong, I know he was unfortunate to play for Everton, but if his career had gone a different way, he was one of the most sought after, like, prospects last summer. Do you know what I mean? Like, he obviously had that potential, and then just kind of went to pot a little bit when he came back to England.
I just don't think they're as good as, like, everyone makes them out to be. Yeah, they've won, but they've also played a Spanish team where you could probably only name one player, honestly. who's actually playing for someone decent now. It was basically Real Madrid and Barcelona's youth team. And then he beat Venezuela. And again, you can't name a single player that's on that team. They're just not as good as they are. And like Harvey Elliott is obviously, he played 25 times for England on the 21s. Whereas you look at like Spain's best players or Portugal's best players, they play like 3-4 games in the 21s and then they moved on. They're on to the national team at that point. They're just not that good. Or they get carried by someone. So 2023, they got carried by Cole Palmer. 2017, they get carried by Phil Foden. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Curtis Anderson.
Curtis Anderson.
Is it not just more of a point of the fact that there's more people you recognise in the 20s than you do for the under 17s? Is that actually how good you are at 17 just doesn't actually matter?
Mm-hmm.
There's probably not as much of a correlation of between what you are. The best person in your age group at 17 might not always be the best player at 22, might not be the best player at 26. Because you recognise a lot more people from the second list when they're already 20. What was it, 23 or 21? I can't remember. But
in the 20s.
Yeah. So is there not just that point at 17? It's like you're still a kid. You haven't grown. You haven't had the chance to sort of ruin your career with loads of money and see what happens when it does start. That actually your bigger sort of chances at that. I don't know. Never know what Curtis Anderson could have done. That's a real shame of this.
Could have been playing for Alder.
Could have been. I'm flabbergasted he's not.
Okay, so we're going to move on and do our Super 6 for the week. Obviously, we didn't have any last week because this weekend was international break. So I'm going to ask Tosh, Griffin and Max for their predictions for the 6 games. That sound all right, lads? So we'll start off. First game, Newcastle Wolves. And we'll go Tosh first, please.
1-0 on that. I think Newcastle haven't won yet. They've got to win that game. But we'll, is that two teams who haven't won yet? We'll go 2-0 Newcastle.
Okay. Go on, Griffin. You next.
Yeah, I reckon nil. I think 3-0.
Jack and Neil start Visa and Valtomard.
I don't know
what you're saying.
What?
Gotcha. You probably have to. I mean, Gordon's suspended as well. And then is Joel Linton back?
No idea.
I'm going to go anticlimactic 1-1.
If you don't beat Wolves, they're in trouble, Newcastle, I think.
They'll also probably be playing the Champions League just after that as well, so there might be a case of if anyone's like half fit, they won't risk them, maybe. I don't know.
Yes, but...
Peter Pereira will get manager of the month.
I'd be flabbergasted if they don't beat Wolves over home. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say...
Go for a draw.
That Walter Marder. What was it, the under-21s, was it? This summer?
Yeah.
The Max's quiz, or...?
I remember watching him because at the time I remember us being linked to that Walter Marder and I thought he looked quality. So that's put the seal on his terrible career.
Such a mad sign, isn't it?
Yeah, like
how much is it? In it.
What? He was 70 odd, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted at that price. He's
massive as well, isn't he? He's like 6'7", 6'6". Yeah.
Seen all the pictures of like Crouch and Defoe, but with him and Wissa, like it's just funny.
Did you see Crouch at the weekend as a mascot?
Yeah, legend.
Who was that for?
Farnham Town or something. Yeah. It was like football.
On their podcast, it was like a forfeit that he had to be the mascot.
Oh, okay.
That Walter Marder. What's his name? Walter. How do you pronounce it?
Walter Marder.
Looks like Mr. Ratburn off Arthur. He's got like that real Mitchell-esque face.
Right, next one then for you, Tosh, is Bournemouth-Brighton.
I'll show you some nice good face. Bournemouth-Brighton. We'll go with 2-2.
Griffin?
Desmond, I like to call it.
I think Bournemouth at home are a strong outfit. 1-0.
How did Brighton get on last time? Didn't they beat City?
Yeah, beat City, yeah.
Did they?
I'll have them continuing the trend. I'll go 2-1 Brighton.
Right. Next up then, I'll change up the order because Tosh will end up moaning. So I'll go Griffin first for West Ham Spurs.
I like the look of Spurs, to be honest. I think West Ham, I know they won that last game at their in term, and I reckon 3-1 Spurs.
All right, go on, Max.
Same. Spurs look really good. Like, love Thomas Frank as a manager. I'm going to go 2-0 Spurs.
And Tosh?
They didn't win again. They got lost to Bournemouth, didn't they, last time at Spurs? I said Bournemouth would get something out. The only thing on the Super Six I said was right last time, so write that down.
Did you get the score?
Doesn't matter, Max. Didn't even get the right result, but I said that Bournemouth would get something. That's all that matters. I will also go I was going to go same as Griffin, I'll change it off. I'll go a 1-0 Spurs win.
Okay. Brentford, Chelsea, Griffin.
Brentford at home. One all.
Max.
You just say Brentford Chelsea?
Yep.
big Chelsea away win, 3-0.
Tosh.
Yeah, I was thinking big Chelsea. I'm gonna go 4-0.
Okay, last two featuring one of our teams and the big game of the weekend. So, second to last, we've got Burnley Liverpool, and we're going to start with Max.
4-0 Liverpool.
Okay, Tosh.
2-0 Liverpool.
Griffin.
I go 1-0 Liverpool.
Liverpool
always seems to struggle in them games. I never fancied Liverpool for them games. It just doesn't suit them. Honestly, trust me. They're a little small. Don't be surprised.
And then...
Everyone's predicting them to win.
Last game, the Manchester derby. What are we saying? We'll go Max first again.
Where is it?
It's at the Etihad.
I don't know, it's just Ruben Amorim's not going to change a thing, is he? But it'd be just one of those where it'll just like fall flat again. 1-1.
Tosh?
I was going to go 1-1 as well, because Amorim's done all right in them big games. That's the only thing he's done, hasn't he? He did well against City and Liverpool last year. Now, John, I go 1-0 City.
I'll go 2-1 United.
Ooh. Very bold.
They're like a bogey team, aren't they? Now, for them.
Yeah. I suppose even when City were good, weren't they? And now, like.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. The only game they seem to get up for. Which, fair enough.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, lads. So, I actually will make sure that the leaderboard is updated for next week. And we'll have four names on there now, won't it? Because obviously that's two for Tosh as well as you, Max. And then the one for Griffin. So. We'll see who comes out on top on their average scores. Now, we're going to close the episode with a couple of questions. So, I just thought on an episode like this, where we're being a bit more loose with the structure, I just thought I've got a couple of very random questions. They're all footy related, but I just kind of thought I'd throw the cat amongst the pigeons and ask you. So, the first one I've got is, I need you to tell me if... a type of goal, so it could be like a long-range effort, it could be a team goal, it could be anything like that. If any kind of goal counted for double, so you get two goals for it, what kind of goal would you like that to be? So what's your favourite type of goal kind of thing? Oh, yeah, it might even be like a keeper scoring, for example, might get you two. Anyone want to throw it out there?
I like this game. But my one is, I'm going to go with my two favourite types of goal that jump to my type head. The first one is very easy, that you could define it. I think a diving header, potentially.
I was going to say that.
No, I bet you were.
Honestly. I'm thinking of Van Persie's diving header.
I'm thinking of Henrik Larsson's, but yeah, both excellent.
A game of heads and volleys, like the counts as two.
Yeah, no, I just think that it's a great skill. But actually, I love like a fast counter attacking goal. Like a lot of my favourite goals, I think of Ronaldo's away at Arsenal in the semi final, Rooney scoring away at both away at Arsenal. Maybe they're just goals away at Arsenal, like. But yeah, fast counter attacks. So I'm thinking, like, could you be one where you transition from your box or area to theirs in a short period of time? But yeah, no, go on, I'll stick diving either because I don't want to give Griffin an easy out.
I will go with bar down, but it hits the bar twice.
That's good.
Love that. There's something that's a long range shot and just goes bang, bang, like that, off the bar. Like, so good. That can be worth two.
Barring in is even just great, but yeah, I like that. How often do you see a bar twice in it?
Well, that's the thing, though. I think like you see a bar and in a lot.
Yeah.
So you're going to reward it all the time. Yeah.
Are you sticking with diving out of the Griffin?
Yeah, I like a chest and volley as well. I think that's always a good skill. When someone takes it down the chest and then pings it. Like your bell.
See, I haven't actually thought of answers for these questions, but I think mine's probably a very specific one. I'm thinking of one goal in particular. You know, like was it Scholes against? I think it was Villa. You know, where like the corner and then it gets headed out, and then the volley straight back. I love them because I just think like no.
It's the one he has against like Bradford as well, isn't it? Is it Bradford where it's straight from the corner?
Bradford straight from the corner. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think like. Because obviously, like my favourite goal is in the one that I just watch over and over is that Van Persie volley against Villa. Funnily enough, that Rooney assist. Yeah, maybe it's just a volley. I just love a volley.
It'd be a lot of double points though if that was the case.
Yeah,
but what's wrong with that? It doesn't have to be a rare occurrence, does it?
Would you give them 2 points if he like chipped up to himself and volleyed it?
No, you can't self set up. No chance. Yeah, I thought maybe mine is a bit too vague because yeah, how would you define it? It'd be like VAR, wouldn't it? Where no one knows the rule. Maybe I'll have to rethink mine.
Straight in from a corner would be a good one.
Olympico,
yeah. He's got a name. See, give it 2 points.
Messi's next to Olympico.
I do like as well, Tosh, how yours is, because like some people like a team goal, don't they? Where like every member of the team touches it. Yours is the opposite, isn't it? Like, get it up as fast as you can.
I like that sort of, I don't know, it's just goals I love. Like, to be honest, a lot of them seem to involve like Rooney. There's one where Rooney scores with him and Ronaldo. They bring it out home to Bolt.
Yeah.
Like, one of them like falls out. I think it's from a corner. Rooney flicks it around the corner. Ronaldo's bombing on. He plays it. Rooney chips the goal. I don't know.
That Berbatov one's good as well when he gets the ball at the back. He follows it all the way up.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Maybe just Berbatov goals.
Right, okay, let's move on then to second of three. I hope you don't mind. This one then, not quite as extravagant, but I've gone for we've done this on a previous one about what's your favourite kit. But I think generally, Tosh, if I remember right, most of us did international kits, didn't we? So what's your favourite ever kit from another team? So obviously not an Everton kit or a Liverpool kit for you two. What's your favourite ever kit?
Specific, like an actual kit or like team kit generally, if that makes sense. No,
it can be whatever because it can be you like the style or it can be what it was. Like you could pick a specific Chelsea team, or for example, because you loved what they did.
Yeah.
First one that comes straight to mind to me, I suppose it's a bit more nostalgic or anything, but first time I went to abroad to Spain, my brother went to Barcelona and he got the centenary Barcelona kit. So it was like, it was just two halves, the red and the blue, but it had the date, 1899 to 1999 across it. That's the first one that comes to mind. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah,
probably more nostalgic than anything else rather than being good though.
Yeah, I would say in the Premiership in particular, the Arsenal one, Thierry Henry is famed for like the maroon. I think that was actually the 100-year one?
That was the anniversary kit, yeah.
That one's so good. I love that Barcelona kit as well with Ronaldinho's kind of a picture of Ronaldinho in it. It's like gold with a, it's got, it's like a polo collar.
Did he wear that at Chelsea away?
When he scores that goal against Chelsea, yeah, he's wearing that. And I like the Real Madrid one with Siemens mobile. I like the it's like a granddad's collar, I think. Yeah.
That was
done on the back.
Wasn't that like Beckham's first year there as well?
Yeah.
I feel like that's where I remember that.
Yeah, and Owen. I'm sure Owen played in that kit.
He wore that kit, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, they'd be mine.
I don't like when there's a special kit, so I don't like that Arsenal one. And I don't really like that one. I don't want now because I thought you were going to say, I think a lovely kit in the Omri is the yellow Arsenal one. That yellow,
the blue kit.
The blue, and he'd wear the blue Vapors with that. I'd like wear the red ones at home. I'm struggling to figure an individual one. I love, as two kits, I love Boca Juniors general design, and I love Atletico Madrid's general sort of. I think Atletico's mad because I think Atletico Madrid, I think I've said, may have said this before. With the blue short, it's just unbelievable. Whenever they wear red short, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's their clash of the things. An actual general kit, I'm trying to think. I'm struggling to do that, I think.
Going back to Arsenal, though, obviously, right now, there's a lot of templates coming back. So, the old-style Adidas templates and Nike ones, but the Nike Total 90 kits of that era, 2002, 2004, the Arsenal one with Henry, and it's the white across the back with his name. Yeah. And then you got the Brazil and Portugal one.
When we did our Maroon 5 ages ago, wasn't it? That was the one I said best kit ever.
I don't like that.
I absolutely love that Portugal kit.
That whole era of football was when it was at its peak. The players, the kits, the boots, the ball,
the adverts.
It was the adverts.
The kit's not nice. So them Talk Mighty kits, they're actually not nice football kits.
Yeah,
like design. Just nostalgia, like all that weird badge in the wrong place, the outline and the thing on the back. No, I'm not a fan. I didn't like that.
I would agree. Like, I wouldn't want to wear one. Like, it's not like great to now, but just so iconic.
I will wear them every day. Please, Fergie.
I sort of do like when I seen that Chelsea kit. I was sort of that is quite good. You've a lot of these teams are wearing different badges, aren't they? Like that was the old Chelsea. An old Chelsea badge, sort of. Like you see, Everton have started using the Tower Liverpool badge on one of the kits. Is slightly different, isn't it? That's obviously the new thing. But then I'll just stick to an Atletico Madrid kit. Maybe the Atletico Madrid one, but actually, that might have been. I was going to say the one where they changed the films on the front or something.
Yeah. That's nice. I didn't think you'd like that.
I don't. But I'm just.
I'm going to pick a kit I don't like.
Do you know what? That's the most tosh thing ever.
I know, I've said this before. I think we had the same. I love a yellow and blue. I love Everton's kit when it's yellow and blue, although I don't like this one. I like, there's a Juventus, when Juventus knocked Tottenham out of the Champions League, when Chiellini makes that comment about Tottenham, Juventus have got a yellow kit. That's an Adidas yellow kit. That's lovely. I'll go that one. But yeah, I don't even know if that is my favourite. That's like a yellow kit.
Mine, for all it's worth, mine's that, obviously, the maroon Arsenal one. I just...
Was it?
Yeah, I just obviously love on me, and I know you can say that with Thierry Henry, but yeah, that kid just sums it up. It was just it was just class. So yeah, I'm going with that. And the last one, I think, might potentially be a little bit harsh, or it could get a bit harsh. I hope he's not mad. We can cut this if you want, but I thought,
is this about Callum?
Can we? This can be to do with football ability. It can be to do with value to the podcast. It could just be general appearance. Can you compare someone else on the panel to a footballer?
No.
In any way you want.
I do you shows a little before.
What?
You're easy. Let all left foot. Eye, and you look like a Iron Robin.
Do you know what? I'll take that.
All that fun.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah. What a compliment that is.
I know. That's why I wrote the question.
He was playing five aside in Sheffield. He didn't look like Ari and Robin then.
I look like Diego Forlan, mate.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I'm just copped out there. So
I'll take it, Tosh. We'll leave it there. Are we all just thinking of the fattest footballer we know for Griffin?
Yeah, Moby.
Now. Neville Southall, now.
Andy Reid.
Tell you what, Paula.
Paula,
the streets won't forget Andy Reid. They won't forget me, mate. I'd probably say Zinedine Zidane for me. Probably.
Are you describing someone else?
What? it's so hard.
I know. It's meant to be a little bit.
Tosh, I can't think of a player, but Tosh, I mean, isn't the best possible way. You don't expect him to be as good as he is at football.
Yeah, I agree.
But, so I'm trying to think of a player who you look at and think, nah, no way can he play football.
Dennis Irwin. No offense. Dennis Irwin. Dennis Irwin. Postman. Can I do man for Griffin and say, like, no way he's good at football, and then he's actually weird.
Yeah.
And then he eats too full for catches before playing and throws up.
Yeah, let's do one for Max. He only starts playing when they lose.
I have another one.
Someone asked
him. I was going to go with him. Jagielka or John Terry, because he was goes in goal halfway through a game.
I don't get that one.
Right, we will leave it there. We'll offend each other enough.
I've been called Iron Robin. He's doing well. I
don't know. I've been called Andy Reid.
Paul Konchesky.
Come on. It was going so well then. But yeah. Right, go on. We'll leave it there. Nice one, lads. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the slightly different episode today. Yeah, hopefully it worked. Shared a few new different things. That's what we're going to try and do, hopefully, over the course of the next couple of weeks and months. So, thanks to Tosh and Griffin for joining us. Hopefully, they will be back soon. That's the plan. And yeah, until then, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.